this is Jim Burns from Hornaments, and you're listening to Big Scary News.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and anything else listening. My name is Drew Badger from The Big Scary Show, and welcome to The Big Scary News, an offshoot of The Big Scary Show where we bring you all the latest up-to-the-minute news and goings-on in the haunt, horror, and Halloween industry that you need to know, plus an exclusive interview that you won't hear anywhere else. The Big Scary News is very proudly sponsored by Froggy's Fog. Get all your fog products from frog juice to scents to foggers and more only at froggiesfog.com. And now, without further ado, here is the Big Scary News. We start off with some sad news from the world of Hollywood. Actress Rose Siggins, who played Legless Susie on American Horror Story Freak Show, passed away over this past weekend in Denver at the age of 43. Her manager says, "At this time we can confirm her passing, but cannot provide any other information until we release an official statement." Siggins was born with sacral agenesis, a rare genetic disorder that led to the amputation of her legs at age 2. "If you take a Barbie doll and remove her legs, the region you're left with is the exact same region I have," she wrote on her website. Siggins said despite her disability, her parents focused on ensuring she lived a full life. She went on to have 2 children against most of her doctor's wishes. Siggins has been featured in the documentary Extraordinary People, which described her as having a half body but living a whole life. Her American Horror Story colleagues have mourned her loss. "We are sad to learn of the passing of Rose Siggins," FX Network says in a statement. "She was beloved by everyone in the AHS family. She was a kind person, a loving mother, and a very talented actor. Siggins is survived by her husband and 2 children. The Big Scary Show sends its condolences to the family and friends of Rose Siggins and offers up this moment of silence. We have this news from HauntCon. The Haunted Attraction National Trade Show and Convention, or HauntCon, is pleased to announce a strategic partnership with Haunted Farms of America. This year's annual event will take place at the Sheraton Hotel in downtown Birmingham, Alabama, January 28th through February 1st, 2016. MHF Webb Haunted Farms of America, Incorporated, founded by Alexis Abare and Benjamin Selecki, provides creative partners and new or existing owners of farms with the resources, support, services, and networking opportunities necessary to launch, enhance, and grow a successful haunted attraction as part of their agritainment business. Every year, HauntCon brings together people, the best and brightest haunted attraction owners and operators, for a fun-filled 4 days and nights tour of local attractions, haunter education, a trade show, and rounded out by a haunter garage sale and the amazing HauntCon costume ball. HauntCon is jam-packed full of education and networking opportunities, and it grows bigger and bigger each year. If you have a haunted farm, haunted house, Halloween event, or if you dream of someday opening a haunted-related event, then join others like you at HauntCon 2016. For more information about Haunted Farms of America, visit their website at farmhaunts.com or contact them at info@farmhaunts.com or 617-80-HAUNT. And of course, get all your HauntCon info at www.hauntcon.com. We have some early info from the Scares That Care weekend in Williamsburg, Virginia. Scares That Care is pleased to welcome back a fan favorite and a very strong supporter of this charity, Mr. Sid Haig. Sid called them personally to make sure he was coming back to Scares That Care weekend, happening July 22nd through the 24th, 2016, in Williamsburg, Virginia. And of course, when Sid calls, you answer. Get all the early information and updates as they happen at scaresthatcareweekend.com. We have this convention news from the Texas Frightmare Weekend in Dallas, Texas. Brains! We're pleased to welcome Alan Troutman to the TFW. Alan portrayed one of the most iconic zombies in the entire history of Living Dead cinema, Tar Man in The Return of the Living Dead and Return of the Living Dead Part 2. Alan is making his Texas Frightmare Weekend debut April 29th through May 1st, 2016. Tickets are available now at TexasFrightmareWeekend.com. Alan has also been puppeteering professionally since 1973 and is a lead puppeteer and puppetry technique instructor for the Jim Henson Company. As a puppeteer, he's currently working on Disney's upcoming film, The Jungle Book. Do you want a party? Stay tuned as we continue with our annual celebration of Halloween with guest announcements. You can get tickets and info at TexasFrightmareWeekend.com. We have more convention news from the Mad Monster Party in Charlotte, North Carolina. Tony Moran joins Mad Monster Party 2016. Tony Moran, Michael Myers from the original Halloween, joins the madness March 25th through the 27th in Charlotte. Mad Monster Party is presented by WCCB Charlotte CW. For more Mad Monster Party info, tickets, or the chance to book one of our limited discount hotel rooms, please visit www.madmonsterparty.com. And for the latest updates, please like them on Facebook. We have this convention news from the Scarefest in Lexington, Kentucky. Volunteers needed. Over the past 8 years, we've grown with great success, and because of that, we've decided to increase our volunteer numbers. If you're interested in becoming a volunteer, please contact volunteer@thescarefest.com. Once you receive your application, fill it out and email it back to that same email account. You'll be notified by email once their decision is made. Please note, some volunteer areas will fill up quicker than others. At that point, you'll be assigned based on your skills, experience, and knowledge. The Scarefest will be happening September 30th through October 2nd, 2016. Visit thescarefest.com for updates. We have some news from the original Night of the Living Dead film. It's rare that you can trace an entire subgenre back to one film, as it's often that many of them that collectively spawn a certain trend, but when it comes to modern-day zombies, Night of the Living Dead is unquestionably the movie that created them, and that makes George Romero the man who started it all. Originally released in 1968, the black-and-white classic launched Romero's career and turned zombies from mindless slaves into terrifying movie monsters, making it unquestionably the most influential horror movie ever made. Due to the film slipping into the public domain many years ago, countless filmmakers have been free to put their own spins on the film over the years, and so too has Romero's movies been re-released onto DVD and Blu-ray countless times by fans and companies eager for their hunk of the proverbial pie. Now, nearly 50 years later, a never-before-seen sequence is about to be restored. During a panel discussion at the Monster Mania Horror Convention in Maryland recently, George Romero dropped the huge announcement that a once-lost 16mm work print has finally been found. The work print, which turned up when elements that were being gathered for a brand new restoration of the film, reportedly being overseen by Martin Scorsese, contains roughly 9 minutes of footage that has never before been released. It was cut from the film not by Romero, but rather by the original distributor. This was a scene that takes place at the jump cut in the basement, including the largest zombie scene in the film, describes a fan who attended the Q&A. We'll have more on this as we learn it. We have this strange news from Walmart via iHorror.com. While Mike Dougherty's new film Krampus, or Krampus, is currently gathering all the attention, another horror flick containing the demon just recently hit store shelves. A Canadian-made anthology film, A Christmas Horror Story, spins four Yuletide set tales of terror, including a wraparound story starring the one and only William Shatner. Sounds fun, right? Unfortunately, the title seems to have rubbed one retailer the wrong way. According to several online reports, some Walmart stores have seen fit to change A Christmas Horror Story's title to A Holiday Horror Story. To be fair, the alteration is simply a cosmetic one and only appears on the outside slipcover of their copies of the film. The real issue here is just why Walmart felt it needed to take Christmas out of this horror story. There seems to be only two logical options for why Walmart would choose to make this change, and both reek of something most horror fans abhor, political correctness. Option one is that Walmart thinks the word Christmas will turn off certain demographics and thinks that the more neutral word holiday will sell more copies. Option two is that Walmart doesn't want to upset people by stocking a film that associates this most family-friendly of celebratory days with murder and mayhem. Either way, it's hard to imagine why any sane person would be offended by the word Christmas being in the title of the film, and the fact that Walmart felt they had to do this is kind of ridiculous. What's next? Slipcovers that read National Lampoon's Holiday Vacation? We have this news from the NYZ Apocalypse in Deer Park, New York, via longisland.com. Holiday haunted houses are nothing new. They're all over the country now, springing up everywhere. There was one on Long Island last year, and there'll probably be more sooner than later. As fear seekers come out of the 2015 Halloween season, they won't have to wait too long to get another scare before the year ends. NYZ Apocalypse, a year-round action-packed scare experience in Deer Park, New York, is offering a three-day holiday horror show that isn't so holly and jolly. Shopping mall Santa zombies are taking over, and only you can stop them. Santa Apocalypse is coming to NYZ, and they have a message for you. Recent excavations at the Apollo prison system located at 450 Commack Road, Deer Park, New York, have unearthed one of the most disturbing medical experimental rooms to be found at the zombie-infested facility. It seems the U.S. government had plans to insert shopping mall Santa super soldiers throughout America to guarantee our safety, but the infection made its way through the stricken Apollo prison before these soldiers could be released to perform their duties. There are now hundreds of shopping mall Santa zombies roaming free at the Apollo prison system. We're calling upon the good citizens of the New York area to visit the Apollo prison system on Sunday, December 20th, Sunday, December 27th, and Friday, January 1st, to help eliminate the scourge of shopping mall Santa zombies. Experts have indicated that 3 days of battle should be sufficient enough to destroy this latest outbreak. Sounds like a great way to spend the holidays with friends and family. Leave the kids at home for this one, and remember to visit www.nyzapocalypse.com to book your times for this 3 day event. We have this on a New Year's Eve ghost tour in Philadelphia. Ring in the new year in a most unusual way with a candlelight ghost tour of a haunted Society Hill mansion. Discover the enchantment of a bygone era with ghostly tales of mystery, merriment, and resolutions gone awry. The 6th annual New Year's Eve Ghost Tour takes place at the magnificent Powell House, the site of many high society holiday parties of yesteryear. Here you'll find haunting tales of the wealthy and famous, of debutantes and dignitaries whose ghosts return to dance and party the night away. The Powell House is located at 244 South 3rd Street, Philadelphia, on 3rd Street between Walnut and Spruce Streets. For more information, visit ghosttour.net/hauntedphiladelphia. We have even more convention news from Days of the Dead in Atlanta. It is with great pleasure that we announce the addition of actress and writer Serena Vincent to the guest roster for Days of the Dead Atlanta, happening February 5th through the 7th at the Sheraton Atlanta. Serena Vincent is likely best remembered by horror fans for her role as Marcy in Eli Roth's Cabin Fever. She's also known for playing Maya, the Yellow Ranger, in Power Rangers Lost Galaxy, as well as appearing in such films as It Waits, Not Another Teen Movie, Return to House on Haunted Hill, Murder, Set Pieces, and many others. Tickets and vendor spaces for Days of the Dead Atlanta are on sale now at daysofthedead.net. We have this news regarding the late Forrest J. Ackerman. It seems also almost impossible to believe it's been 7 years since we lost Uncle Forry. People still see documentaries and films that bear his name, arguably one of the most influential figures in the genre of classic horror. If there were a Mount Rushmore for horror and sci-fi, his face would surely be on it. There's now a petition to make his home, the famed Acker Mansion, into a historical landmark. The Acker Mansion is important, not just to horror, but as a repository of classic Hollywood, and we can think of no more deserving location to be protected and preserved for all time. This is our Graceland. This is our Smithsonian. The petition can be found on www.change.org and search for Forrest Ackerman. And finally, we have this bizarre news regarding Norman Reedus via UndeadWalking.com. Norman Reedus of The Walking Dead was reportedly bitten at Walker Stalker Con in New York, New Jersey, by a fan who has since been banned from future WSC events. Turns out that Norman Reedus has to watch out for biters even when he's not on the set of AMC's hit zombie survival drama, The Walking Dead. According to several reports, a female fan was standing in front of Spoil the Dead member Michael Bowman in the line for photo opportunities with Reedus and Michael Rooker at Walker Stalker Con around 2:50 p.m. when it was her turn to get a picture taken. The woman approached the two actors and told Norman Reedus a story about how she likes to pretend that she's married to him. After a moment, security ran in and restrained the woman, explaining that she was to be removed for biting the Walking Dead star, and saying, ma'am, you just bit Norman Reedus. Michael Rooker was surprised by the interaction as well. In fact, the actor who played Merle Dixon reportedly exclaimed, "What the beep was that?" Norman Reedus typically is very fan-friendly at conventions, allowing fans to get extra close and even sometimes making silly poses or licking the fans he really likes. This is a real step backwards for fan interaction at conventions, as many celebrities avoid events like this for the very reason that poor interactions can happen. There is a photo of an Instagram post where the woman shows remorse for her actions, but biting celebrities is never a good way to make them notice you. She has since been banned from Walker Stalker Cons and lost the two remaining photo tickets she had in the process. And that wraps up the news for this episode. Stay tuned for the interview here on The Big Scary News. Do you need fog or snow for your haunted attraction or theatrical event? Are you looking for that perfect haze effect? How about scents to give your haunt that extra realism? If you answered yes to any of these, then you need to head over to froggiesfog.com and check out their line of world-famous frog juice, haze juice, artificial snow, and bubble juice. Whether you're a home haunter buying a gallon a year or a major theme park buying 25,000 gallons a year, you can be certain that your satisfaction is their highest priority. They have everything you need when it comes to the highest quality fog and haze fluids. If you're looking for that perfect low-lying stage fog, the longest-lasting water-based fog, the right haze juice for your machine, a bubble juice that outperforms the rest, or a snow juice that evaporates after floating 30 feet, Froggy's Fog has that and so much more. Froggy's Fog also has scent additives that are compatible with any water-based fog, haze, snow, and bubble fluid. For more information, visit froggiesfog.com. That's froggiesfog.com.
Hey, this is Tater. Come buy your fog from me, because if you don't, I'll be homeless.
Tonight's interview is with Jim Burns, the creator of Hornaments, and was recorded in studio in December 2015. And ladies and gentlemen, as you may know, the holiday season is upon us. We're in the middle of shopping. Everybody's rushing around trying to find those perfect gifts for your haunting friends or others. What do you buy a haunter? Do you buy him a hearse? Do you buy him a silicone mask? Do you buy him, you know, bloody weapons and cool stuff like that? You know, some of those things can be rather expensive, and, you know, frankly, who has money these days? But, you know, there are just some little things that you can always find for that haunter friend of yours, and one of those things might just be Hornaments. You know, yeah, everyone has the Christmas tree. You get a little Christmas tree set up. You know, why put snowmen and Santa Claus and elves on there when you can put bloody stumps and evil things and all sorts of cool stuff like that for that haunter on your list? Found out about Hornaments not too terribly long ago. Found out it was run by Jim Burns up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, who also runs The Haunt, one of a really cool haunt that we went on at the Midwest Haunters Convention pre-show tour a few years ago. Jim, you're up in Grand Rapids, right?
Yes, indeed. Up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, where it's getting awfully cold.
And I can't imagine you not having like 8 feet of snow right now. It's 75 down here in Charlotte a week before Christmas, so, you know, go figure. Anyway.
That's good. We've been blessed, actually, because it was 73 degrees on Sunday here, but snow is coming and the normal temperatures of below 30 are on their way.
Finally, at least somebody's getting into the holiday season, because right now we're walking around in shorts. So anyway, Hornaments. Hornaments. Not sure exactly how do you describe them?
Well, Hornaments is the first complete line of what I want to consider cutting-edge Halloween/horror-themed decorative ornaments. I have been working on this idea for about the last 5 years, and after I looked around, searched everywhere, trying to find, you know, that little bit of a cutting-edge. There's a lot of Halloween and ornaments on the market today, but they've kind of got the little cute, soft twist to them. And being a haunter and understanding and meeting so many haunters across the country, I felt that if I was looking for something like that, there's a good chance that other people are also struggling to find something to meet their needs.
So you don't necessarily think that just jack-o'-lanterns and witches and black cats as ornaments or decorative things is cutting it with the haunter crowd?
I think they're a great start. But if you look at, like, a haunted house and movies, you know, we always want a little bit more. We're always pushing the envelope. So I have a collection of basic black cats and witches and ghosts and, you know, some of the monster characters and so forth. But I just felt there was something that was missing in the marketplace. This came about with my wife and I. We've been married 21 years, and for all of our years together, we have always exchanged some type of ornament at Christmas time. And generally speaking, we would try to find something for each other that was relevant to the past 12 months. So whether it's job-related or a hobby or, you know, a special interest or a pinnacle moment in our lives, we would try to find something. So Amy, my wife, would try to find things that are related to the Halloween industry. Being that this is my 15th year of running the haunt here in Grand Rapids. And she kind of expressed her frustration when I would open up a box and find kind of a cute little witch or whatever it was. And she said, that's all I could find this year. So, or, you know, even Harry Potter or, and nothing wrong with either one of those, nothing like that, or Jack Skeleton, you know, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Sure.
That's about all the market offered. So I started researching and found that there was really nothing out there. And long story short, 4 years ago, I hired some sculptors, ran a Craigslist ad, found them from all over Michigan, had them sculpt up some designs that I was thinking about in clay. And I am not a mold maker, but I bought some silicone and poured up a mold and two-part plastic, ordered it online, and whipped them out and put some paint on them and thought that I actually had something going on.
What was the first thing you designed?
Actually, it was the Reaper. It is actually one of my ornaments this year. I also made additional ones that have a bolt in the bottom of those, and we mount those onto marble bases, and those can be used for haunted houses to give away as sponsor gifts or awards. You know, if you have an actor of the year, best actor, volunteer of the year, you know, sponsor, support, whatever it may be. And we sold quite a few of those across the country also this fall. And my Reaper still seems to be the number one seller, which is kind of funny because it's the first one we introduced.
What are some other examples of things that you can buy if you decide to peruse Hornaments catalog or online store?
Yeah, we've got a full online, all the pictures are on there. And what's kind of cool about it is, you know, we show an image of the ornament itself, but we also took some still shots and put them together. And I'm not a tech guy, but I had somebody do this for me. But you can see the ornament 360, so it rotates in little photo stages. So you can see the backside of it and all the sides. And it really brings forth the opportunity to look at the detail that we put into the actual sculpts and the molds and the paint jobs. But we have 30 designs. What's interesting is I've created a number of those. I believe we have 6 of them that I classify as a Series 1. So the individual box itself naturally is labeled. They come with a black box with black bubble wrap inside and a label on the front and the back. And there are 6 of them, if I'm not mistaken, are Series 1. So our werewolf, our doll head, our bad clown. Those are three examples of what will be a series one, and the next year I will introduce another one, which of course will be series two. In addition, I have a limited edition. It's a little bit of a morbid thing, but it's got my name on the tombstone. And it's been selling extremely well. It's a beautiful sculpted tombstone with kind of the crying angel leaning over the top of it. It's got great detail. You have to see the back of it because the feathers on the wings, are every single feather is sculpted just beautifully. And it's faux finished, just wonderful, to really look like an aging granite stone. Those I'm only making 300 of. So the people that have purchased those get a little certificate of authenticity. I always struggle on that word, man. You thought ornaments was bad? I cannot say that authentic word. Mm-hmm. But they're all serial numbered. So I'm only making 300 of those. So in addition, so you have a werewolf, and we have a vampire bat. We have a gargoyle, which is also a series. I've got an axe. I got a chainsaw, which actually has a metal handle on it, which is so cool.
Nice.
And drips on it. Goodness, a doll head, the bad clown. 30 different designs. I'm kind of drawing a blank. I apologize.
I think I'm getting a couple of, shall we say, bloody stumps in the mail here. I got a notice from the post office that something has arrived in my box. Wonder what it could be.
How could I forget that we actually have a severed arm and a severed leg? And it's great because you see the bones sticking out the top and it's got the blood running down it. They're fantastic. They're a great pair. Anyway, we use that kind of as one of our advertising toys that, embarrassing enough, is the elf on the shelf. I'm sure you've seen those crazy pictures.
Oh, yes.
So the elf on the shelf is holding up a severed arm and a severed leg. And a bad pun is that, you know, ornaments for decorations won't cost you an arm and a leg.
But on bumps.
It worked. Sold a bunch of them.
Well, I definitely am looking forward to seeing mine coming in the mail. Hopefully tomorrow I'll be able to run by the post office and pick it up because my tree is sorely lacking of really cool horror-type things. So what are you looking at expanding to next year?
Well, that's really the exciting part about it. In addition to Series 2, which we'll be releasing, you know, the number two of a gargoyle and the bad clown, the doll head, the werewolf, I'm actually in negotiations with some individuals right now to get them involved in licensing. So I can't, obviously, you know, I don't throw it out there, but you know, you can't say too much before all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. But we're looking at some licensed products potentially.
Ooh.
And something exciting that I really want to get out to the listeners that there are so many talented people. You know, and I've looked at yourself on Facebook, and we see the different groups that we belong to, and we see some of the work that these either people just have a passion for Halloween, or they're artists, and they're seasonal artists, whether it's Halloween or Christmas or whatever they're doing, or they own haunted attractions. But there are some extremely gifted individuals out there, and we're putting together a plan right now that we'll be able to reach out to some of these individuals, and their pieces could be designed and packaged under the Hornaments label.
Ooh.
They'll get a little bio on the backside. So if you've ever seen a Hallmark where you get a little picture of somebody that talks about the history, the person itself, kind of a biography, we're going to open that up to the general public where they can submit ideas, do their sculpts, and they may find their product out there on the internet and make royalties off from everyone that sells.
That's a great idea because, you know, you see Face Off and there's so many talented people. There's so many people who are home haunters that just, you know, make these cool costumes and make these cool props and weapons and sculptures and busts and things. And there is so much talent in the haunt industry. And to possibly become a commissioned artist like that with royalties even, that's just somebody's dream come through.
Absolutely. And, you know, you nailed it right on the head. There are so many talented people out there, and they do it for the passion itself. You know, I haunt because I absolutely love it. And any haunter will tell you that we probably spend more than we probably should every year because we love the attention to detail and we don't know when enough is enough because it's a pride thing. But there's a stumbling block when it comes from selling a couple on Etsy and eBay to a mass production. And that was a learning curve for me for the past 5 years, is saying, okay, I want to take this on a commercial level. I certainly know that I'm not going to open up my garage and start pouring an ornament at a time and trying to paint it. So it was a very long and tedious process of contracting this out and finding a factory who could actually kind of be a turnkey. In other words, help with the sculpting process, the coloring, the molding process, the production, the packaging, and the shipping. And it was a learning curve that took me 4 years. And I did it on my own. And I'm not saying that from a bragging standpoint, but when you don't have a lot of money, you have to pinch your resources. You know you have to invest in molds, and you know you have to invest in product and freight and delivery and so forth. So the research, I'm not big enough to hire an R&D team. But it was a great experience. So the full circle to what we're talking about, if there's talent out there that has some sculpting ability and beautiful pieces, this is a great opportunity for them to be able to go not only national, but on a global scale. I get inquiries from the UK. We get inquiries from Ireland. We've shipped to Canada with our ornament line. So imagine you come up with something, we put your bio, it's your design, and we pump these out across America, and you just collect the check. It's a beautiful thing. They don't have to go through all of the labor and the mistakes and the investment. I've done all of that. Let's get everybody together, creative minds and talented people, and we can all win from this situation. So I think it's cool. It's nothing done on the market like it today, and it's a way to rein in all of this talent in this crazy world of haunting, and everybody can benefit from it.
Well, that's a really good segue for people who may be interested. You're an artist out there, or you're somebody that just likes to play around in the garage and you got an idea that may be pretty cool looking on an ornament or a decorative piece. How can they submit their ideas to you? Also, how can people, I assume it's hopefully not too late to order for Christmas or possibly birthdays, anniversaries, Valentine's Day is not too far away. How can people get information? How can people get more information on ornaments and submitting their ideas?
Yeah, absolutely. Easiest thing to do is just find us on the internet or Facebook. Ornaments is a difficult word. I actually have a trademark on the name itself, and it's, whore, ornament combined, but it's one spelling, and I'd like to spell it out for you, and it's Horror, N as in Nancy, Aments. So Horror-numents, if you were to break it down. And everything is on our website. It shows all the 30 designs that we have with pricing. And again, if you click on the individual piece itself, you'll be able to get the 360. It's kind of fun because I have this thing called a bad clown, and it's this twisted clown standing, and he's holding this lollipop out with his one hand. And you don't get it until you turn it around. When you turn it around, he's got a knife behind his back. Oh, so you can never trust a bad clown. So you got twisted, right? But I know everybody's kind of chuckling right now listening to this thing, because it's been a fantastic seller. So you go onto our website. Then you can contact us via email. If you don't want to go onto the website, you just want to shoot me an email, go to info@ornaments.com. Nice and simple. We are shipping every day, so you place your order through the website itself. It comes to us automatically. We box them up, all individually boxed, as mentioned. All you got to do is put some black wrapping paper and a black bow on the top. They make great stocking stuffers. I've had people call and say, we've got these friends. Every year they throw this big Halloween party. We all get dressed up. We have a good time. They don't take any donations. This will be a perfect little gift for them.
Sure.
The great thing about this is all of my ornaments, excluding the limited edition, are under $10. So you get a beautiful resin piece, bubble wrapped in black, gift box in a flat black gift box, great detail, beautiful paint job. It's even got the string and the hook, so you don't have to go and, run out to the hobby shop and try to buy some hangers or open up a paper clip or whatever the case might be. It's got the string on it already. And the average price is $7.95 each.
It sounds like that would be a bargain at twice the price, but for under $10, you can't go wrong. Once again, go to ornaments.com for all that information. Jim, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your probably extremely busy schedule, packing and shipping and sending out all these ornaments to people around the world here. for taking the time to come speak to us here on the Big Scary News.
Well, I certainly appreciate you reaching out to me. It's certainly a pleasure. I really appreciate what you do for the industry itself, and it's a great way that when there's not a convention going on or you're not logged on to, checking out the local what's happening, this is a great way to tune in with Big Scary News and find out what's happening throughout the country and the world, for that matter.
Absolutely. Once again, Jim Burns, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Go to hornaments.com and check out all that stuff. We'll put a link on our website as well, so, and our Facebook page, and we might even tweet out that web address too. But once again, Jim Burns, thank you for taking the time to speak to us here on the Big Scary News. My name is Drew Badger, and we are out. We'd like to thank Prelude to a Nightmare and the CD Dark Ride for providing the music for this episode. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Big Scary News. We wish to thank Froggy's Fog for being our title sponsor, www.froggiesfog.com. Remember to listen to the current Big Scary Show for even more news and information, including the Haunt Minute, Face Your Fears, great music from the Haunt Rocker, and the soon-to-be-famous Roundtable of Terror. Get all that and more only at BigScaryShow.com. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is Drew Badger signing off for the Big Scary News.